Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Okay, previously unadvertised because I forgot he was coming in. Paul is with us in studio, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
When did you become senile?
Years ago. I forgot when. Wouldn't you be unable to answer that question if you were truly senile? Because you wouldn't remember when you became truly senile. Right?
Yes. I have a question. That Kansas brawl.
Yeah.
Does anybody know who the guy in street clothes is that the number 22 from Kansas was fighting? He all of a sudden popped up under the basket. And he was in street clothes, and I have not heard from any. He basically was the guy fighting.
Yeah, I don't
know. It wasn't
know.
Really Kansas State fighting Kansas. That those two went at it. That's who the guy with the chair was going after. Was this guy in street clothes and the white pants?
Was he a K-State player who wasn't dressed? I don't know. I have
he
no
looked a little
idea.
Older. Okay. I just wondered if it ever came up and if you guys heard who that guy was.
No, I didn't. I didn't hear anything definitive.
I think the most amazing thing from that brawl was the mascot covering its eyes.
I didn't see that.
Right? Mascot covers its eyes.
No kidding, really?
I'm pulling up the highlight because
you realize now if Gritty was in the brawl, Gritty would have gotten
when
the
you
brawl.
See under the basket, you'll see a guy in street clothes, a blue shirt and
white pants. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he's basically the one in the fight with number 22.
It was after the initial fight starts.
Yeah, look at the Kansas State players. Yeah. They're all behind the thing looking at it.
Right.
They're not really in it and
you that, can see it
this
from
is
the
guy because they knocked the guy down. Now the guy they're on top of him kicking him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they pull him out the other way and got him out of there, and all the other players went the other way.
Yeah, he's looking at it right now on the low angle.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the video because I'm not sure where in this the mascot did this. I just want to bring attention to it because most mascot costumes, you don't, as the person in the costume, look out the eyes. You look out the mouth.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like because the head is so big.
Yeah.
And I just want to give, if this is in fact what happened, tons of credit to stay in character and put your hands over the eyes of the mascot so you can still watch the fight but cover the mascot's eyes. And it's amazing.
Speaking of mascots, and Howard mentioned Gritty, did you guys see that Gritty is actually under investigation?
Yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah.
And so what's strange about that, somebody had a good point about that it's strange that, you know, Gritty can't actually be charged with a crime, but the person who was
the costume
can be.
Yeah.
And I thought, my reaction to the Gritty story was Gritty would never do that. Which is not exactly.
See, that's funny. My reaction was the opposite, thinking if a mascot ever did it, it would be Gritty because he looked like a crazy idiot when they first released the design.
The claim is that the kid might have punched him a few times. The Flyers went out of their way to offer him all this free stuff, and you can sit on the bench. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I take a seat on the bench. Cool.
But the kid's dad said no. I don't know. It seems like a weird story.
Supposedly he punched a kid in the back, right, Gritty? Supposedly he punched a kid in the back. Anyway, we digress.
Allegedly.
We digress. Hey, before we get into – actually, this is kind of a hockey thing for you. We opened the show this morning talking about Zion Williamson made his debut last night, and he went off in the fourth quarter, and it's one of those things where I think – we were talking about like guys you watched, and the first time you saw them, you thought, this guy's going to be great. Is there a hockey guy – doesn't mean in person. You could have watched somebody on TV. And I was wondering, you got anybody in the hockey category?
The obvious, McDavid. I saw him live down in Erie. And you knew immediately that, this guy is going to be an absolute superstar. I didn't see Wayne Gretzky till he was actually playing professionally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that really wouldn't count.
I was going to ask you about the Sabres because somebody tweeted in or texted in and said McGillney.
Again, I didn't see McGillney until he put a Saber uniform on.
Right,
you know?
After he defected, right.
But still, I mean, the first time you saw him, you thought...
Right, as a Saber, absolutely.
As an NHL
absolutely.
Player. Now you say, how
counts.
Does he fit in that
league?
Yeah,
that counts as an NHL player, absolutely. Dahlin, the first time I saw him, it was very obvious to me. Jack Eichel.
Sure.
I mean, the obvious people. I will say Olofsson, the first time I saw him in Rochester. I'd seen him at some development camps. But I mean, it's not just a hard shot. It's how he gets it off.
Yeah.
That's what impressed me. So I, you know, going against the obvious, I think Olsson would be one where, you know, seeing him in prospects camp, I go, this kid is going to be an NHL player with that kind of a shot. And you have Victor Hedman raving about his shot. I mean, if Victor Hedman of another team is raving about it,
yeah,
it's a good shot.
I think too, there's an interesting discussion to be had. Like you mentioned, Dahlin. Like sometimes. I didn't see Dahlin until he got here, right? Zion, at least you would have watched Duke and thought, wow, this kid is something else. Wait till he gets to the NBA. With Dahlin, it's kind of interesting. Now that's, you talk to all these people before he even plays a game in the NHL. And we get, when they won the lottery, we had everybody and their mother on the show talking about Rasmus Dahlin. And every time we had somebody on, the stories got even bigger and bigger and bigger. Like there was so much hype about this kid. That it's tough to say, and then the first time you see him, oh yeah, they were all right. Like, right? I mean, it's amazing you think that a guy can live up to a buildup like that. And yet, in Dahlin's case, right, you would have heard all the interviews too, and you would have heard everybody talking about him, and in Dahlin's case, it comes true.
I do have one, and it was because I watch Iowa State football. Alan Lazard, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, was a receiver at Iowa State. I'm watching him break records. He was phenomenal there. Best receiver I'd ever seen there. And I thought, this guy's really going to be a good NFL wide receiver. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl, and I see Joe raving about him, and I see other people, and I go, and he doesn't even get in. He didn't get drafted. And I'm going, wait a minute. What? I know what I'm seeing here. It took him 3 years. I think he was on Jacksonville's practice squad and everything. All of a sudden, he finally got the opportunity in Green Bay because of injuries. And I'm watching an interview with Rodgers. He goes, I've loved him in practice.
Yeah,
he's really shown us in practice. And now that he's gotten a chance in the games, he's shown that he's a pretty good NFL receiver. But it took like 3 years. But he was a guy at Iowa State I thought was can't miss when I was watching him. And it wasn't just because I like Iowa State. It was the things, you know, he would compete for balls in the end zone that he had no business catching, and he'd come up with them. He'd make big first down. He was a good route runner. He seemed to be open all the time. And I was really surprised when I didn't see him in the NFL. And now I'm not surprised at all that now that he's gotten the opportunity, he's turned into a nice receiver for the Packers.
I've got a name for people around here that probably fits this. You know, right away you said, this guy is different. Khalil Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Khalil Mack at UB, you'd have UB fans telling you, no, this dude is unbelievable. Right. And you'd think, oh, come on, like a UB player is going to go in the top 10, top five?
Yeah.
And he has been every bit live up to the hype.
Yeah, that's good because, again, you're kind of with him, it's the Mid-American Conference, and then he goes and plays Ohio State. And if you watch that game,
yes.
You thought, okay, he is legit. Like, he is real. I mean, you knew he was special, but it's like, well, Toledo, Ball State, Eastern Michigan.
And then
they play Ohio State, and he dominates their offensive line.
I think a lot of this conversation is, maybe it's not the first time you saw them, but the first time they stepped up a level. Like, that's what Zion was last night. Hey, he dominates at Duke. All right, how's his NBA debut go?
Yeah.
Oh, holy cow, that was really good.
Right.
I'm going to want to watch
limited
him.
Limited minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but what does he score in a full game?
Right.
35? In his debut, you know, so who knows if he played a full game.
You know what I was thinking of, although this wasn't the first place he played, but I don't recall ever seeing like Hasek play before he got traded here. So I would not have had, like in my mind, I would not have had an expectation. And then he shows up and you start watching him go, oh, holy, you know what.
I saw him relieve Belfour.
Did you?
In a Stanley Cup game.
I would have been watching and
he
I can't remember.
He was phenomenal in that game.
Against, would have been Pittsburgh. No, not Pittsburgh. I'm thinking who was Chicago.
Were they playing Chicago? Was playing Pittsburgh?
Yes, in the Stanley
Chicago
Cup.
So it would have been that, right?
Yeah.
Three.
He relieved Belfour in a game and played really, really well. Yeah. And next thing you know, he became a Sabre. I had no idea when he became a Sabre he's going to become.
Come on. Give yourself credit. I think you tweeted out back then on your flip phone, this Hasek guy, destined for greatness.
Exactly.
One of the all-time fantastic goalies right here.
Just run through a couple names that we've gotten mentioned to the original tweet. Dan Marino, Bo Jackson, Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. He was young in Manchester United. Wow. They poached him, and he was great right away. And then there are the misses, too, you know, which are kind of funny in here. We had someone mention, who were some misses we talked about?
Willis McGahee was never what you said he would be.
No, but there's a guy.
He wasn't bad. He was an okay player in the NFL.
When you saw him in
college.
He got hurt.
Yeah. I know
the player he was in college, one of the best college players that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Willis McGahee.
Somebody tweeted in about seeing Gretzky at Maple Leaf Gardens in 83. So I don't know. Would he have been with the Oilers? He would have. Of course he would have had to be in. But
let's
so
not forget,
Gretzky,
by the way,
that early in
not
his
that
career.
We're rehashing Willis's career. Remember the Bills asked him to gain weight and become more of a power back? That was fun. Right?
I believe you. I don't remember that, okay. But I believe
they
you.
They did. We'll run tougher. Let's make this guy into more of a beefier back. Okay, great idea.
So that was our discussion from this morning. But I can tie this in because one of the guys you mentioned was Jack Eichel. You know, the first time I think I would have seen him play, it was either at BU or definitely in the World
BU.
Championships.
It's BU for me.
Well, in those World Championships.
He was great in the World Championships. The World Championships, you're like, all right, it's legit. Whatever they're saying about this kid, it's really legit. Eichel comes out. They did TSN's got their midseason top 50. So he ends up being sixth. I'll ask you the same thing behind was it McDavid, McKinnon, Dreisaitl. I had the list in front of me. Hold on 1 second.
Pastrnak
and yeah. Panarin were the top five. How is Eichel thought of around the league, Paul? Because the Sabres don't get a lot of publicity. They're not in the playoffs. He hasn't had a chance to really show on the national TV picture in the playoffs how good he is.
It seems like every opposing coach is talking about him.
Right.
I think until this year, he was thought of being the next step down. You've got McDavid. You've mm-hmm. got this group here. And then he's the next group.
And Matthews might have been in that group, but now he's behind Eichel in this poll.
I don't think he's any longer in that second group anymore. He's up in the first group. Matthews has been a weird year. I mean, he slumped for a long time. Then next thing you know,
he's got a ton of goals.
He scored like 10 goals in X amount of games, and now he's ahead of Eichel.
He's got 34 goals.
Yeah, he was way behind him. Now he's way ahead of him. Yeah. And it's been a weird year for him. But I would put Matthews in the top discussion also with the rest of them, just the way he plays. But, I think that's the difference. I think he was considered, these guys are quite a bit better. He's in the next group, and I don't think he's any longer in the next group.
It's funny, to back your point up, so on the TSN poll, Matthews is seventh. He's right behind Eichel. But they put where they ranked
preseason. But Jack
preseason.
Is carrying Austin Skates,
of
right?
Of course he is. Thinking, yeah. But they put where they were in the preseason. Jack was 29th. Now he goes out, they have the season, and a little past the halfway point, he goes from 29 to 6. Matthews goes from 6 to 7, but 29 to 6 is one of the bigger rises of anybody on this, and it's because he has elevated his game to an entirely different level, and he is clearly getting credit for carrying the franchise and keeping them within a sniff of the playoff race, because without him.
You got to have a strong nose to sniff right now.
Sniff the playoff, yes. A big, big, powerful nose.
It's a 10-point sniff.
Well, the problem is all the teams around him don't lose. I mean, that's the thing. You can project points out, but if you're projecting points out, some of the other teams have to stop winning.
Yeah.
And they don't. Two teams in this group lost their goaltender, and they have not stopped winning. Columbus and Philadelphia both lost their goaltender, and they just continue to win. And that's the problem. If you were just chasing the next team in the play, and that next team is the playoff team, that's a whole different conversation. But when you got to get past three teams or four teams just to get to a playoff team, do you really think all four teams are going to go
they're
down far
go
enough
into a
that,
skid,
that,
right.
that you're going to be able to catch them all? You're going to basically have to do what the St. Louis Blues did last year and pretty much never lose and vault yourself up that way. And you were I know people are probably thinking, well, the Sabres haven't played this week, and other teams have played, so at least the Sabres will have games in hand, and if they win those games in hand, that'll get them back. No, they're even in games with a lot of these teams now. Those teams were catching up to the Sabres. So now when
the Sabres
Sabres play games, now those teams will have games in hand on the Sabres because the Sabres will once again go ahead on games early coming out of the break when other teams are sitting and watching.
We were talking earlier, you'd have to play at like a 700 level of hockey. You'd have, first off, you'd have to talk about 9 of 10 at home coming out of the break, no less than 14 points out of the 18 that are available.
But does that even do it?
That's just I think that can get you back within shouting distance in the race. I don't know that it even puts you in a play. It probably doesn't put you in a spot, but instead of being 10 out, maybe you're 4 out. I don't know.
Yeah, I said all the teams. The Leafs haven't been winning, so not all the teams. Right. And Montreal hasn't been winning, so they've kind of stayed with you.
But Florida's winning now.
All right, catch the Leafs. So what? You're all happy because you caught the Leafs, maybe. But Florida's gone crazy. I mean, Florida's right on the heels of Tampa Bay now with the way they're playing.
Florida and Columbus have both won 8 out of 10.
Yeah, and Columbus has done it basically without their goaltender who got injured. You know, so, and this goaltender had what, back-to-back shutouts and was player of the week or first star of the week, however, whatever they call it. It's crazy how just next guy up and next guy up performs.
Is there reason to believe, Paul, based on what you're seeing from the Sabres and their overall play going into the break, is there reason to believe this team could go on a run coming out?
They could, because they've been so streaky this year. I mean, they started 8-1-1, and then they had that horrible, what was it, 2-8-1, maybe something like that. And then they went on another run again where they got points in, what was it, 10 out of 12 or 12, mm-hmm. whatever that was, you know, where they did really well. It was the second one, the poor run, that took them out of it. That's when all the teams really started flying by them. They could afford the first bad run. They couldn't afford the second one. And the second one, again, lasted, what was it, 7 games, was it? 1-5-1, was it? Did it get any worse than that?
Yep. And they had a long losing streak on the road, too, six or seven straight.
Six in a row, 9 out of 10. Yep. Then they won 2 in a row on the road and played well in Nashville. That was a game either team could have won. But still, you know, it just – the second losing streak is what took them out of them. Now, they went back on another – what did they – they won 5 out of 7 until they lost in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Now they're 5 out of 8. If you win the 2 home games coming out of the break, which are very winnable games, now you've won – what is it? 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10, yep. But then you have to continue playing at that level for the next 2 months.
You could early, but when you get into March and some of those games, you're going to have an awfully hard time playing at that level.
And then one of the questions that immediately comes up is, and somebody brought this up this morning, I'm not sure who it was, might have been a caller. What does Botterill do? How confident does he feel that he is safe? You know, does he look at it and say, well, it's time to sell and get some assets? And
Marty probably. I think
it was a caller.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think Marty brought up Botterill's job safety. Hmm. But, Paul, I would expect him to be back, 100%.
I would too, and sell what? I mean, you could sell Bogosian.
Right, you could sell Larson.
Evan Rodriguez.
Gergensen.
Larson, you might get somebody to bite on.
You might want to keep Larson. I mean, like he's got value in the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a huge problem with Larson, Oposo, and Gergensen's being your fourth line going forward if they want to play like they have recently. But the problem is the Sherry spot, you're getting nothing out of that. The VC spot, you're getting nothing out of that. The Rodriguez spot, you're getting nothing out of that. The Mittelstadt slot, you're getting nothing out of that. You didn't go out and get a center, so you had to move a wing to center. You did the Ville Leino move.
Yeah.
You're getting very little out of that. I mean, we could be having a whole different conversation if they would have gotten a center and had Skinner and Johansson on that center's wings. And then Olsson and Reinhardt on mm-hmm. Eichel's wings. We might be having a whole different conversation here about, because I think Johansson would have been a much better, more productive if he wasn't out of position. That really screwed him up. He tried his best. He didn't complain. He said, "I'll be happy to play center if they want me to." It wasn't like Leno who like flipped out because they moved him to center. But it's just not his position. I mean, it's not where he's comfortable, and he played like he wasn't comfortable.
Yeah, and to the detriment of his overall game, because that's one of the guys, him, VC for sure, and Sherry, those are the guys that you say in that middle six that you need production from. You can appreciate how Larson's line plays, and I do, but they're not going to put a lot of points out there. So it's Eichel, and you got the fourth line doing what they do, and then in those middle two lines, you're getting next to nothing in terms
and
of production.
And I know
well,
you
Skinner
were,
was the guy producing.
I know you were responsible. Sherry being an NHL player, you've got to cut the ties.
Well, there's two more.
You've got to figure out. I know you love him because he was a Penguin and you brought him in and he's this, that. He doesn't produce here. And really, if you look back, he didn't produce all that much in Pittsburgh either.
Other trade bait, Frolik, who you just got. Yeah. Connor Sherry.
Yeah, Frolik is one. I forgot about him.
Connor Sherry and Jimmy VC. Are they going to re-sign VC? You spent a third-round pick to get him on the roster, and you're just going to let him walk?
I would.
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to let him walk. Just, you know, a third-round pick for an expiring guy who, you know.
Yeah, they Miller cost him 2 picks. How has that worked out?
They have 3 forwards under contract for next year right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back to Beaulieu. They didn't. What did they spend a third, I believe, on Beaulieu, and then they wound up getting back a fifth or a sixth, whatever it was. But same thing. I mean, you had to have Nate Beaulieu. Well, that didn't work out. So now, you know, a year or two later, it's
– they spent a third and they got back a sixth.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean
– they trade third-round picks all day long. I know that because I'm obsessed with offer sheets, and every time they trade a third-round pick, I don't get to talk about them. And they always trade their third-round pick.
But the Miller thing is almost stacking up like Beaulieu now, where you trade something and you think he's a value and he's going to fit, and now if you move on from him, what are you getting?
Two different GMs have traded third-round picks for Jimmy Vesey twice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep your third-round picks.
Paul's here for some quality in-studio time. Stick around because, actually, Jeremy, you mentioned something you wanted to talk about with the draft, too, which we can get our discussion going here with Paul joining us. 803-0550. Let's try and give away some money. A win cash code word. Your chance to win $1,000 in our national win cash contest. The word is bike. B-I-K-E. Text that to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 9 o'clock to text the word in. Please do not text if you are driving. Bike, B-I-K-E, 72881. If you do that, you'll have a chance of winning $1,000. We'll have another code word coming up around 925. And more code words this afternoon with Shope and the Bulldog. It is the National Win Cash Contest on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Point over to Cousins. There's a one-timer, scores as he blasts that one to the back of the Moose Jaw Warrior net. It gets right back to Wheatcroft, trying to drive the net. Backhand save made. Pucks in the crease. They score. That might be Dylan Cousins. That will get credit with the Hurricanes' fifth goal. Left the Hurricanes' control. Here's Cousins. One-timer scores.
Oh, you've seen that movie somewhere.
Dylan Cousins, the hat trick.
Dylan Cousins had a hat trick for Lethbridge. I'd like. What's that?
Was that guy in a coma?
I know. I guess the other team scored.
It was the away broadcast. That's why.
Still, I mean, you can put a little of it in your call.
I'd like to issue the following message to Dylan Cousins. Hurry!
I thought you were going to say, please, help us, please.
Hurry, get here fast. Hurry, please.
I loved what Chris Baker had to say with Brayton the other day. I went back in our on-demand and listen to Chris talk about Dylan Cousins.
You mean
Cousins.
Radio Rewind?
Well, no, this time I did use On Demand. Okay. I could have used Rewind, but I actually went to the On Demand audio because I wanted to hear a few different things. But he was raving about Dylan Cousins' season in Lethbridge and that basically there's nothing left for him to prove at the junior level.
There isn't, but I'm glad they're doing it the way they're doing it. Letting him develop this year, going to the World Junior, and go win a championship with your junior team. Go lead them and win a championship, and then – you know, I think he'd be more – that makes him more prepared to come in before – the rushing people in Middlestadt, That doesn't normally go well. And yeah, Doc has done a good job with the Chicago Blackhawks, and I would expect Cousins to be able to step in and do a similar type of a job with the Sabres next year. But again, if he has a little bit of trouble to start with on the NHL level, I'm not going to flip out over it. It's kind of sometimes what happens. But yeah, I think next year, he's going to have a good opportunity, and you hope that it translates pretty well into the NHL.
The two things that grabbed me from Chris's conversation with Brayton were clearly about Cousins, because I think there's so many eggs in the Cousins basket when you're trying to see where's the scoring coming from in the organization. And the other guy I was excited to hear him talk about was Arttu Ruotsalainen, who he's had really positive things to say about, but thought this might be like an Olofsson track, where he comes in next year, and to get him adjusted to the North American culture and the play and all that, he goes to Rochester and gets some time down
there
first.
If he can. I know he couldn't this year.
Yeah.
This year was, if you don't make the NHL, we want him back. It was up to his Finnish team.
Okay.
And they wanted him back, of course. They wanted him on their team, so they had to approve him going to Rochester. In the second year of the deal, I don't know if that's...
I think he can come to North America next year.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's the plan, I think.
That'd be nice. True center, right? Chris was pretty high on
him,
too.
Yeah, he said he can play the wing, but he's more of a true centerman.
Which this team desperately needs. Paul's hanging out with us, 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy, you teased at going to the 8 o'clock break about the draft.
Quick thing about the draft for you that I've been thinking about with regard to strategy and grading players.
You want the Sabres to take a wide receiver.
Yeah, right. I will trade
him. Take two wide receivers.
Paul, yesterday I offered Andrew Filippone Connor Sherry for Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, I'd make that deal in a heartbeat.
He asked for Connor Sherry. The Penguin.
Really?
Andrew,
they want him back?
Andrew, who hosts in Pittsburgh, says, Connor Sherry, the Penguins need him back.
Okay.
So, deadline deal.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, would you take him for a late-round pick? I said, how about for Juju Smith-Schuster instead? Anyway, that's another story. Question is about the draft, the NFL draft, and best player available and all that. And I was thinking about, if there are a lot of receivers that are really good, does that affect how you grade them? Right? Think about anything with supply and demand. If there is one draftable quarterback available in a draft, he goes higher.
Yeah, right.
If there are 30,
right,
they all aren't as important because there are a lot of different opinions on that. It's a little bit... it's supply and demand. So I'm thinking about this for wide receivers. Will the Bills take best player available, or will they, and I do think these are contrasting points, or do they say, well, it's first round, and I bet we can take a better player in the second round, and we'll go just past our best player available here because the position is more scarce.
Wouldn't you trade down in that spot?
Well,
wouldn't that be the thing to do?
But if you
instead of
quote reaching,
trying to reach for a guy,
not necessarily a reach. You've got the receiver graded 15th, and the defensive end is graded 17th. But then your next 12 players are receivers,
right?
Just like any fantasy draft. You say, like, well, I'm gonna take the position I need here. I'm gonna take Travis Kelce because there's such a drop off from tight ends,
the next guy.
And
yeah,
I'll wait till my next turn at wide receiver or at quarterback or whatever. Fantasy football is a great example of this because the guy that scores you the most points is your quarterback, but the drop-off is small, so you wait until later rounds. So you don't take the best player available in a fantasy draft. You take position-based best player available. And I would bet that NFL teams do exactly the same thing except never telling you that they do that. I bet the Bills would do it.
And that's why, to me, when I was listening to Brandon Bean talk about the edge rusher and how it's a premium position, and if you're looking into free agency to get an edge rusher, it's going to cost you a lot of money and all this other stuff. And I think that's how they think. And my thought was, okay, if the wide receiver class is deeper than the edge rusher class, right? And the Bills, let's say the Bills just stay where they are, they're at 22. And they look at it and go, okay, there's an edge rusher on our board right now. Our top edge rusher is on the board, and the top receiver by our grades is on the board. What's the drop to the next highest guy?
Don't even make a top edge rusher.
And you go,
make it the third edge rusher.
Whatever. But there's a big drop, right? There's a much deeper group of wide receivers. Hey, the receiver we get at 54. He's going to be good.
He's going to be fine.
The edge rusher on the board at 54, not so much.
Right.
Let's take the edge rusher now.
You play the market.
Is Josh Allen a good example of this? Was he the best player available when they drafted him,
or
did they need a quarterback?
Right.
He could not have been the best
player.
They
needed a quarterback, so it's like we trade up. This is where we're going to take Josh Allen. But my question is, if you're of any position, was he the best player available
right.
at that time?
Right, yeah. And maybe teams do position-based boards, and you kind of go from there, because Allen goes seventh, and right after that is Roquan Smith. Now, the Bills might have really thought Roquan Smith was good, but they think, you know, we can probably get Tremaine Edmonds a little bit later yeah. in the draft. Let's get the quarterback that we need. Maybe they had Mike McGlinchey with a high grade, or Vita Vey, or, you know, but they're already set at defensive tackle or defensive end for Marcus Davenport. It's just, there's, you know, it's part of the conversation that I always fight back on, like, best player available. You're always looking at your roster. These are not expansion drafts. So you don't always go best player available.
Now, in Oliver's case, they needed that position, but he had dropped, and I mm-hmm. think he was the best player available on their board because he had dropped down.
But
I
Allen,
think they may have had him higher on the board, but Allen, I think, is
I
a different story.
I find that hard to believe that. What, seventh pick, right? I find it hard to believe at that point he's the highest graded player.
He could have been their fourth rated player. You could also go in knowing we need a quarterback more than anything.
Uh-huh.
So subconsciously, the number gets bumped up. 0.2 because of how much you want your core. I mean, these values you assign to these players
right.
are subjective to your own evaluations.
Yeah, but need has to play into it. It has to. If you're the general manager of a football team, this is the depth chart. This is why you look at your depth chart. And organizationally, you know. Now, granted, you also have free agency, which comes before the draft to fill in some of these spots. But you have to know contracts. Where are we at? Who's coming up? How many guys do we have
right.
here?
How
do we play? What's our style?
In a crazy scenario, hey, Joe Burrow is on the board at 22. What do we do? You know, you don't take him.
Right.
You probably
you trade
don't.
Out to a team that wants to get up.
When
get
I
Joe
saw
Burrow.
What the NFL is doing with the stage and the
yeah.
fountain and everything,
isn't that cool?
I thought to myself, I'd almost like to spend my own money and go out there.
Just to see it.
I'll go cover the yeah. thing, and I'll spend my own money to go out there just to see this. This is going to be a spectacle.
we were talking earlier. I honestly thought when I first saw it, I thought it was like an early April Fool's prank. Someone's just screwing around. This is not what they're really going to do. But apparently, that's not the main stage. That should be the main stage. Like Roger Goodell should be on that stage with the fountains going, announcing, and you know, with the whatever pick in the draft, the Oakland Raiders. Excuse me, I knew I was going to do
the
it.
NHL,
the Las Vegas
the NHL
Raiders.
Is going to do the awards now from the fountain.
From the well, they're out there anyway.
They're playing an outdoor game on the fountain. Is what they're doing.
No, they're going to do the awards every year at the fountain now.
Do you think Bettman's asking if you could freeze the water at the Bellagio and see if we could get an ice rink out of that? Do you think? Is it possible? Paul's hanging out with us, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. All-Star game this weekend, Paul. Couple things on that. One, do we still like the current format? And two, there's a handful of guys that are skipping the game, Ovechkin being one. Rask was going to. Now he's got a concussion anyway. Marc-Andre Fleury is skipping the game. They're going to be subject to the one-game suspension. Should the NHL care about this stuff? Is it a problem if you have some of your bigger name guys saying, I'd rather have the time off?
Well, the suspension isn't a deterrent, I guess.
Right. It's one,
at least,
I mean, one game out of 82.
Well, it probably is for some other guys, but it's not a deterrent for everybody. The Washington Capitals. I think they can afford to throw a game away. I don't. They're in a good spot. You know, if they lose a game because Ovechkin is suspended one game, but you don't have him out there doing all these things. He would like to have the rest to be ready for the second half of the season. You know, Vegas is a different story. You know, Vegas, Fleury doesn't play every game, but he plays most of them, and they're in the middle of a race. You know, so that might, even though Fleury's not playing well,
yeah.
still I think he probably gives them their best chance to win over Subban. So that's a different story. But Washington, Ovechkin, it's like, yeah, we can give away a game. We're fine.
Right. Even if you were the Bruins and if Tuukka Rask didn't suffer the concussion, you'd still probably not worry about a game. You're playing the backup
and,
at any
point. And by the way,
anyway.
This myth that the Bruins are this big, bad, tough team, the fans there can't stand this the non-toughness of this team. They don't show up at all. Rask got hit, and Richie wound up in the minors. The coach flipped out. Because nobody did anything. Nobody showed up. There was another one where Wilson of the Capitals, Marchand like jumped on his back. But the rest of the Bruins, you could see them. They're all like, they were doing the Paul Gostad. Where's the guy I can get behind here? Where's Backstrom? Backstrom's out here. Everybody get to Backstrom. Hurry up. You know, let's grab Backstrom. It was like, It was sickening to watch. And I thought, you know, the Sabres aren't the only team that doesn't show up sometimes for their players. And it's I heard somebody on the radio at some point. I wasn't here on this on our guys, but oh, the Bruins are this tough team that really, you know, backs their players. It's like, you need to go talk to their fans, because they're not the only guy they really have on their team that stands up for anybody is Chara.
Well, wait till they play them the next time, like the Sabres waited till the next time you play that team, and then you send somebody out to jump the guy during the and have
a
mandatory fight.
They're going to make a call and try and trade for Dalton Smith.
To bring him up for one game and have him play in that game, and then he can go back to Providence.
Why did the referees just let Dalton Smith fight? I mean, he didn't even start it. Let it go. I mean, he played a minute and a half. Let him get his fight and go back to Rochester.
Yeah, didn't even have that. The format, you think they'll do there's some rumor, speculation they might do an international versus, I don't know, I guess North American format next year?
I don't know if there is a format that's really going to interest me. I mean, I watch it because it's my job to watch it, but there's really nothing they can do that's going to make me get excited about it or think anything different about it.
You could just can the game altogether.
Well,
give the players a weekend
off.
It's
for the fans. I mean, the fans of the city enjoy it, and you know, it's good for the city. People in St. Louis work, so we were just in St. Louis, and they're excited about it. And you know, because there's a lot of things that go around the All-Star game. You know, you have the All-Star Village, and you know, people who are upset because Buffalo never gets the game. That's the problem. It's not hosting the game in the arena. It's the All-Star Village and everything that goes with it. Where, you know, it's just there's no place to put it, type of thing. And that's more the reason, because there are more hotel rooms in Buffalo than there used to be. You didn't have enough hotel rooms either.
Wasn't it also conventions, hotel rooms, convention center space?
Right. The convention center is where you could hold some of that stuff, but it's not big enough. It's not what the NHL is looking for.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that hotels is the problem anymore, but it's just with the events that go on around the All-Star game, it's just there's no room for it.
All right. Well, listen, I apologize for not reminding you or forgetting that you were going to be coming into the studio this morning. Can I get you something out of the vending machine?
Are we done already?
Yeah, he's got Pick of the Week coming up in the next segment.
Ah.
I mean, you can stick around if you want. I'm not going
to
fight you.
You can be on our committee to decide if the stat of the year I'm going to give. Stat of the year candidate is our new stat of the year.
Stat of the year feeling candidate. Pretty good about it?
Was texted in. We'll put it to the committee.
Right,
we'll see if it's the new stat of the year.
Stick around, because this way I don't have to buy him anything from the vending machine. Not that you're not worth a buck and a quarter, Hamilton.
Well, I got to drive out to Orchard Park when I'm done here anyway. So,
right. Well, he's going to stick around one more segment then. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 as we broadcast from the Dunn Tire Studios. We're taking your calls on the draft, and we were talking about Zion debuting last night and a player you remember watching, TV, in person, whatever, the first time you saw them and you thought, yeah, this guy is destined for greatness. The Dunn Tire Studios, brought to you by Dunn Tire. It's a done deal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You guys, you guys coming to watch the LASIK surgery tonight? My wife's getting LASIK.
I don't have the stomach for it.
Oh, no? You can have an audience?
Yeah, it's an audience.
I think I'd pass out probably.
It takes like a few minutes. Here's a fun fact. I've seen 50 people get LASIK surgery because we do these events at Atwal a lot. So you can go to that tonight. You get a free evaluation?
I might get a little lightheaded.
See, like when I get an IV and stuff, I don't mind them putting the needle in. I just can't, I got to look the other way. I can't watch
same.
That.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't mind them doing it. It doesn't, you know, I don't get queasy with them doing it. I just don't want to watch
it. I do that with allergy shots, anything, blood work. I just like, hey, don't take this personally. I'm sure you're really good at what you do. I just don't want to see your work.
Do you look away with vegetables too?
Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Brussels sprouts are great.
I had some the other night. We had Brussels sprouts last night.
So did we.
But yeah.
All right, time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week is from Riverfront Auto Sales, a 2012 Kia Sorento EX model from Riverfront. Marty Sr., Marty Jr. have an impressive Kia Sorento they've acquired from Florida. Only one owner. It's gray in color, a clean Carfax, leather interior, automatic, front-wheel drive, and more. All for $11,975. Call Riverfront Auto Sales today to find out more about the 2012 Kia Sorento EX, and that's 886-1626. All right, so a listener sent in this candidate for stat of the day, and I'm going to offer up for stat of the year. Paul, are you familiar with the reigning stat of the year?
I am not.
The reigning stat of the year is that Larry Fitzgerald, in his NFL career, has played 16 seasons and has more tackles than drops.
Okay.
it's pretty good.
We got Hamilton to go,
Pretty, I mean, that's
and he raised his
good.
Eyebrows too. I saw that.
How do people come up with this stuff?
I don't know,
right?
But it's pretty
is
cool.
Someone it is interesting, but how do they come up
is
with
someone
this?
Sitting and thinking, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, man, he does not have a lot of drops. I'll bet he's got tackles. Let me tackles versus drops. Like, who would actually
that's
get to
stat
that?
Of the year? The candidate sent in by a texter is simply this: we're coming up on draft season, you know, Senior Bowl, combine, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes at the combine ran the same 40 time as Peyton Manning.
Seriously?
Yes.
I'm going to guess it was not a fast time.
4.8.
Mm.
Patrick Mahomes
was he not faster than Peyton?
And Peyton Manning have the same 40 time.
Maybe they were slow with the watches that day? Like, that's not possible. How can he be the same speed as Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning wasn't.
It checks
Peyton
out.
Peyton Manning was slow.
It checks out.
Wish I could have won a round at 40 in high school. I was a sprinter. I wonder what my time would have been. I have no idea.
I remember that about you, that when we had a WJR softball league, everyone would always say, wait till you see Paul run. He is a gazelle.
And I had some weight on me then.
And you'd still be like one of the fastest people we would see playing flag football. People are like, watch this. They don't think Paul's fast. You're gone.
That's not possible. I just saw Mahomes run for a touchdown the other day.
4.840.
Wow.
I'll chime in first. I think it's a great candidate, but I don't think it ups.
It doesn't beat
Larry Fitzgerald. No, yeah. It does not.
I think at the end of the year, if we had like first team stat of the year, second team stat of the year, third team stat of the year, I think that would not be first team stat of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's only
you'd want to recognize
it's
for
only
its
January
statistical oddity, but you wouldn't necessarily say you're the one of the best out there.
I agree. I do not think it dethrones Larry Fitzgerald.
I'll make it unanimous.
Okay.
Now this
that's pretty good, though.
This is not a stat of the year candidate, but since you're on Patrick Mahomes, it's my stat of the day nominee.
Ooh, I got another one on Mahomes if you don't have this one.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Go ahead. Wait. Well, no, you got to wait. Stat of the day brought to you by Strategic Financial Solutions. Love where you work, Strategic Financial Solutions. Patrick Mahomes threw, there was three touchdown passes the other day in the playoff win. He now has 87 career passing touchdowns. It is the most of any player in the history of their league after their first 35 games. He just passed Dan Marino.
Another Patrick Mahomes stat. In the first four playoff games of their careers, touchdowns to interceptions. Okay? Brady, two touchdowns, one pick. First four playoff games. Elway, four touchdowns, six picks. Favre, five touchdowns, four picks. Peyton Manning, five touchdowns, three picks. Joe Montana, seven touchdowns, five picks. Patrick Mahomes, 11 touchdowns, zero picks.
I'd like to throw this out about Mahomes. I just for thought. Would you rather have an all-pro Edmonds and an all-pro White and a above-average Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Not where he is now. Above average. Not fantastic. Above average or Mahomes. Would you rather have the two all-pros on D and an above-average Allen?
I need you to lock in where above-average is.
That's what somebody else said to me when I said, all right, what's above-average? Would that be a top 10 quarterback? Is that considered an above average quarterback?
I think in every scenario, the answer is Mahomes, because I can still go out and try and get other corners guys and linebackers that can also be all pro.
Mm-hmm. And if I got a great quarterback and an explosive offense, I don't necessarily have to have a defense filled with all pro players, because I've got this fantastic guy to bail me out if I happen to, say, fall behind 24 points.
I just like to put that out for thought, just to think about. You know, you have two fantastic players, one very good player, as opposed to maybe one of the best of all time.
Yeah. Did you do pick of the week?
I did. It was the stat.
I'm sorry.
The pick of the week was the stat.
I apologize.
Was the 40 time for Mahomes and Peyton Manning.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes, my Saturday, I'm Patrick Mahomes. He has the same birthday as both Alex Ovechkin and Austin Matthews.
Oh.
Good day. It's a good day to be born. It's too bad.
Were you born that day, too?
What day is that?
Yeah. September 17th.
Wiseacre.
You were an athlete back in your time. You played on our team. Do you remember Howard hit some triples on our team?
All right, we got to go to break.
Triples.
Thanks, Paul. Great seeing you.
I'm complimenting you.
Off of a cliff and into a ravine?
No, Howard, in his younger days, he was so sleek. He had hair. And he hit the ball hard and hit it far and got a triple out of it. I think he had two of them.
Meanwhile,
he didn't play all that much.
I'm all over September 17th and the birthday bros that are Mahomes. You said Mahomes, Ovechkin, and Austin Matthews.
Wow.
Yes.
Also, birthday bros or gals with those guys. Flo Rida. That's exciting.
Paul, Flo Rida.
Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR guy. It's pretty good.
Pretty great.
Rasheed Wallace. All right, I'm just about...
If only Tom Brady was born on September 17th, you might consider that as like the GOAT day of the year.
Here's for Howard. John Franco.
Mets closer.
Sure. Yeah, what's not to like?
At some point, Tom Brady's birthday will become a national holiday, right? That's going to happen down the road.
Rita Rudner.
Why do I know that name? Comedian?
American actress, comedian, okay. Yes.
Yep.
There you go.
Not bad.
Were you just shaking your head when the Mets had to, like, their manager has to go?
It's okay. Honestly, it's okay.
I was just thinking.
George Blanda?
I'm still on George Blanda. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
The Mets, the luck they have.
Come on, Paul. Really? You just said, can you believe it? The Mets, the luck they have?
And I thought of you just sitting there with banging your head on the table going, really?
Beltran never even managed a game, so I'm not even that annoyed. But thanks, Paul. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate you joining us. Always a pleasure.
Also sharing that birthday, by the way, is Charles the Simple.
I don't know.
A Frankish king from 879.
Apparently not an impressive Frankish king.
It was simple.
Paul's Hour with us, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking West New Yorkers. When we get back, Kyle Shanahan is brilliant. We'll let you hear why.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.